This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It may be the Cheltenham Festival, but fear not, we still are back for plenty of footballing preview goodness. Plenty to get through, a look back on the Champions League, plus there was EFL action. We'll be getting the thoughts of James Milton later on in the show. And a look ahead to a weekend full of FA Cup goodness and, of course, some Premier League action. Mark, you were at the Cheltenham Festival, weren't you, on Tuesday? Are you coming into this happy and wealthy?
Yeah, it's been a okay start. I can't retire after Tuesday, Wednesday. And there's still 2 days to go, so I certainly won't be... I won't be counting my chickens just yet, but yeah, the Racing Post, the Irish sort of top tipster Johnny Dineen has been one that I've been following closely for the first couple of days. So I owe Johnny a pint if I ever bump into him. But no, it's been a lot of stories, been some great racing, and you know, 2 more days to come as well.
It always feels so busy this week, doesn't it? Because you've got Champions League, there's a bit of Premier League stuff, there's EFL continuing. I mean, there's so much to wrap your head around. We'll start with the Champions League, where there weren't too many shocks. I think there were, maybe we were thinking there'd be a little bit more drama than there was. Where would you like to start in terms of the games?
Well, I suppose we might as well start with Champions League favourites, Manchester City. Obviously ahead of Friday's draw, they'll be hoping to avoid, I would have thought, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. They'd fancy their chances against anyone. Well, they'd fancy their chances against anyone, wouldn't they? But, you know, they'd be the two to avoid. Haaland obviously got his 5 goals. And it did make me laugh. The interview he gave afterwards, I think, to a foreign broadcaster where they said to him, "Have you ever scored 5 goals in a game before?" And he said, "No. I've scored 9, but never 5. he has these kind of ridiculous matches, doesn't he? It's like in the nicest possible way, like a freak, isn't he? At times, I mean, look, was the first one a penalty? I don't think so. I don't like to see them given, but that's the way that it is really in the Champions League. There was a bad goalkeeping error, so it wasn't like it was 5 goals. He smashed them all into the top corner, but he just there, isn't he? He's there to score whatever type of goals are required. Leipzig, I thought, were absolutely horrendous. I have only seen the highlights, obviously, because I was travelling back from Cheltenham, but from what I did see, the joke of a performance, really. From them, I know they were missing a couple of players in sort of both ends of the pitch, which doesn't help when you're tackling Manchester City. But I think the way to beat City is to try to frustrate them, and we've seen teams do that, in the Premier League particularly, haven't we? Whereas I think those that are try to stick to their principles often get walloped. And I am really interested to. I would love, well, not from a betting point of view, because obviously we're on Napoli to win it, but just from a footballing sort of point of view, I'd love to see Napoli take on Manchester City and see whether Napoli with Anguissa and Lobotka in midfield can play their way through those pockets. Anguissa dribbles, past the press, and just to see where Napoli are at. Obviously from a betting point of view, I hope they get one of the Milan clubs in the quarterfinal, and that Bayern take on City, and it carves up nicely for them to at least collect on the each way. But from a footballing point of view, I'd like to see Napoli against City, just to see where both teams are at, because Napoli came through very easily against Eintracht Frankfurt, never a moment's doubt. Osimhen's header for the first goal is just brilliant. He's somebody that's going to go for a lot of money, I would imagine, in the summer. But we just don't know how good they are. I mean, the fact that there's 3 Italian teams in the quarterfinals is great for Serie A, but if you're looking at kind of the ability of the 8 teams remaining, I mean, you might argue that the two sort of Milan clubs are the worst 2 teams left in the competition, because Inter against Porto on Tuesday night, I mean, just again, because I was travelling back, I didn't see the game, but looking at the stats and the highlights, wasn't until kind of injury time, really, that game sort of anything happened. And I would say over the 2 legs, the difference in that match was Onana, the Inter goalkeeper. That doesn't bode great, does it, if you need an Onana to be the difference maker for you. So, I mean, in terms of that draw for Manchester City, as long as they avoid Bayern and, you know, if they avoid Bayern and Real Madrid, they'll be, you know, really happy. You probably want to skip past Napoli as well. But, you know, in terms of those teams that came through in sort of the Tuesday, Wednesday match days, really, you know, Manchester City are, they are the best team. I'm still not sure I absolutely fancy them to win it, though.
No, you must be confident with that Napoli bet slip in hand. They're going brilliantly, aren't they? Anything else on the Champions League, or should we take a look at the midweek Premier League action?
Just very quickly, Real Madrid, because I think, you know, that game had the potential to get a bit nervy. You know, Liverpool score first. You know, if it's 1-0 after an hour, then you get a second goal and, you know, all of a sudden you can have like a chaotic last 20 minutes. Never looked likely, did it? The way they controlled that game and the tie was I felt quite impressive from Real Madrid. And that they're not doing amazingly in La Liga. We've spoken about it a number of times on the show. Their numbers in terms of the metrics, expected goals, just not at that real top level. And yet they just seem to know how to manage games. Player for player, I don't think they are as good as a Manchester City or even a Bayern Munich. But,
Never write them off, can you?
Yeah, there's just that inevitability about the fact that when it comes to these Champions League latter stages, you just feel like Real Madrid are going to do it. So I can't wait for the draw on Friday. Get the path to the final, can really start to work it out. But let's move on to the Premier League, because there were two big games there on Wednesday.
There were huge games and big games down at the bottom of the table. So Brighton beat Crystal Palace 1-0 thanks to a Sonny March goal. They continue. It was a brilliant day for Tony Bloom after landing a few decent chunky bets at the racing as well.
He said he's back to his horse, didn't he, as well? So,
There was a big story on the Racing Post with a punter with Star Sports from the Brighton area putting down 400,000 on an Ergomane. So I assume it was Mr. Bloom. But good day for him all in all.
I don't think it was Mitoma, no?
Well, you know, he's had a good season as well. You never know, do you? Brentford also beating Southampton. So that leaves the relegation market looking something like this. Southampton are the favourites 4-9, Bournemouth 4-6, Everton 11-8, Forest the same price, Leeds 6-4, Leicester 10-3, West Ham 7-2, bigger the rest. My goodness, Mark, it is tight down at the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, the Crystal Palace fans will be delighted that you've left them out of that list. And, you know, there's a lot of people that fancy, I think, Crystal Palace to go
Palace
down.
Palace 11-2. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're obviously in a really bad spot at the moment. I mean, at least they had a shot on target in this game. They actually had three, didn't they, very early on after, you know, a number of matches without having even a shot on target, and probably weren't as outclassed as what they have been in other sort of derby games against Brighton, and yet they've managed to nick results more often than not. This time wasn't to be. And Palace are, you know, if you have a look at it, the only win since the sort of World Cup was that one at Bournemouth when Bournemouth weren't in a good spot New Year's Eve. 12 without victory, four without a goal. They've lost the last three matches 1-0. So they're not conceding loads of goals. If you actually sort of have a look at it, in the last, I'm just counting it while I'm speaking, but in like the last 10 matches, since that 4-0 against Spurs just after New Year, they're not conceding more than one goal in a Premier League game. But they've got nothing up front at the moment. So they're not scoring, not picking up many points. The only consolation, I think, for Crystal Palace, because they've been on a brutal run of fixtures, and it doesn't get any easier at the weekend. We'll cover their trip to Arsenal that's coming up. After that, it does start to get, you know, a fair bit easier. They've got Leicester. I mean, they've got a mad April where they're playing six matches in April. Leicester at home, Leeds away, Southampton away, Everton at home, Wolves away, West Ham at home. So they've got, basically all six pointers, aren't they? All of those teams are in that relegation battle. So, I mean, from Palace's point of view, that's what they'll be hoping, that they've no longer playing Arsenal and Man City and Liverpool and and Brighton twice, like they've had to, and Man United a couple of times as well. So it has been a really rough run of fixtures. Two problems, I think, for Palace. Outside the fact that they're not scoring any goals. But just, you know, this basically follows a pattern that Patrick Vieira's Nice team got much worse in the second half, the second season under him. So that's the one. And then as you get into these, inverted commas, easier games that they've got coming up, and their last two home games of the season are Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest, it's what's the confidence like at that point? And, you know, just dealing with the nerves of potentially being below those teams. You know, I mean, Jack, you've been involved in more relegation battles with Norwich than, say, well, they're not even battles. Coming. Well, they've not been battles, have they? Most of the time, you've been sort of down by about now, so you're in sort of casual time. But yeah, you know what it's like when you're on a, and I think any football fan knows what that feels like, to be on a bad run. It doesn't matter who the opponent is, you just don't fancy it. And then particularly if you can't score goals, that's why, you know, when I'm looking at the relegation battle, and you didn't mention sort of, you know, what Leicester are about, sort of 100-30 or 4-1, something like that. It just feels like they'll have enough goals in them to stay up. And that, you just look at Palace and go, well, where are they going to win matches? And they've got a lot of silky players, Olise, Eze, Zaha, obviously now back. But I don't know. It feels like,
This sounds like it's turning into an official Mark Langdon tip.
I did put it in the paper last week. We were asked in the Racing Post jury who's your free to go down, and I said that at that time I said that Palace were you know, the value bet in my opinion. And at the time they were definitely sort of bigger prices than they are now. So I mean, whether I'd sort of start backing them. Now I'm not so sure, because like I said, I've got these easier games coming up, but yeah, they're definitely in it. And if they don't think they're in it, then they're sadly mistaken, because they are. Well, they're still 12th, aren't they? They feel like they've been 12th for most of the season. But
it's deceiving, you know, though, isn't it?
A lot of those teams down table. The bottom, you know, Bournemouth suddenly look a lot better than what kind of they did before their January signings. Everton have got Dyche in charge. Leeds have changed with Harry Gracia. I've mentioned, I just think Leicester up front will have the quality. I mean, West Ham on paper shouldn't be anywhere near sort of that bottom 3, 4, 5. So you imagine at some stage it picks up for them. Yeah, I feel like Wolves have probably got enough to stay up. So what, you know, when you start going through it, you're like, well, you know, Palace definitely have to be in that conversation despite being 12th.
Well, you speak there of a lot of the teams down at the bottom. A lot of them have made managerial changes. I see that our esteemed colleague Bruce Millington tweeted last night that he wants to see the back of Vieira. Do you think there's any chance that happens?
Oh, I think there's a chance, but I suspect he'll get the next few matches. You know, I don't see him making a change in the international break. I suspect he'll get kind of at least Leicester and Leeds to sort himself out, and then maybe they make a change. You're suggesting maybe Sam Allardyce is dusting down his managerial suit, and you know, he's got.
Well, we've seen Neil Warnock return in the Championship, haven't we?
I mean, it's just, where do you go if you're Palace? I mean, Rafa Benitez is knocking around and would probably take, I would say, any Premier League job that was offered to him at the moment. I don't know. It's hard to see, because they're not conceding loads of goals. Usually with a team that's in relegation trouble, the first thing you do is you go in there and tighten them up, don't you? It's like the cliche thing to do. But you know, Palace are not conceding many goals. They just need somebody, I think, to try to work out how they can unlock that, the creativity in the team. But Bruce was pretty negative on Vieira even when they were going well. So this is not sort of him just having a pop now, is it? You know, I think he'd seen these issues developing over time. And yeah, Palace are definitely in it. Probably not as much as Southampton, where if we get onto them, obviously beaten 2-0 by Brentford. Got a really good result for Southampton, didn't they? Against United at the weekend. I know it was 10 men, but you still take a draw point, against them. You know, I thought they were a bit lucky against Leicester when they won that game 1-0. They were knocked out of the cup by Grimsby. And then, 2-0 defeat against Brentford, where just didn't create much. One shot on target when they've been chasing the match for most of the game. They had all the possession, but it was controlled. Brentford already ahead, 1-0 up from the set piece, then nicked it late on. Southampton are, as you mentioned, the relegation favourites. And if you had to say, right, I want you to absolutely nail your colours to one team that's going down, I mean, it is Southampton, isn't it? Because you look at the fixtures they've got coming up. I mean, the Spurs, before the international break, then immediately after the international break, West Ham away. Then they've got Man City at home. I know they beat Man City in the cup, but looking at that, don't feel like there's many points coming from them next three games. Then they've got Palace at home, which be absolutely huge. And then they're away at Arsenal. So they've got Newcastle away as well. They've still got to go to Brighton. I think it's going to be, difficult for Southampton to stay up. And it'll be galling, I'm sure, to their supporters that Teller on loan from Southampton is absolutely tearing it up in the Championship for Burnley.
Yeah, could be overlapping leagues at that rate. Right, there we go. Let us know who you think will be going down. You can tweet us at Jack Reeve TNC or at Mark Langdon. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Let's move on to the FA Cup. Our match of the day this week, Manchester United against Fulham. This one's Sunday, 4:30. 4-9 United, 13-2 Fulham, 15-5 the draw.
15-4 the draw there. 15-5 would be 3-1, Jack.
15 to 5,
you said. I promise.
Sorry. I was getting ahead of myself. Maybe I was reading into the FA Cup outright odds. Where do you want to start? The outrights or this game? Because I know that the you're on United for to go and win the lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, they were our outright selection. I mean, it's not the most exciting of quarterfinals, is it? 11-10 Man City, 9-4. Man United, 11-2 Brighton, 18 Fulham, 40 Burnley, Sheffield United, 80 Blackburn, Grimsby are around 250-1. Just feels like we're going to have Man City, Man United, Brighton, and then, either or really doesn't greatly matter. I wouldn't have thought Sheffield United or Blackburn to the overall kind of outright odds. So, I think we might as well start really with that outright because, Manchester City are the 11-10 favourites and I think they'll probably win it from here. I hope that United win for our outright bet. If I was having a fresh go, I mean you've got two options really. You either back Man City at 11-10 or Brighton at 11-2. The problem is if you back Brighton, is that they still might need to beat both Manchester clubs to win the FA Cup. And I don't know. I mean, if you look at the prices they're going off, I mean they are a team that is genuinely involved in that top four. They're rated very highly. I mean, they went off crazily short against Crystal Palace last night, not that much shorter than what Arsenal are going to go off against them. So maybe if you wanted to, it would be Brighton, but it sounds a bit boring, but I think you'd probably rather just be on Man City at this point. But come on, United.
You would expect United to come through this game against Fulham. Fulham have been brilliant this season, but have kind of tailed off ever so slightly in the last couple of weeks. They were dismantled by Arsenal at the weekend.
Yeah, they were. I mean, Paulinho's back, isn't he, for this game? He missed the last couple of Premier League games and is a really important player for the way that Fulham plays. Sits just in front of the defence, wins a load of tackles. I mean, I know the Fulham fans think he's been one of the signings of the season, not just for them, but in terms of the whole Premier League. I did mention it last week before they played Arsenal that the metrics behind Fulham just felt like it's unsustainable. And I know we've gone through a large part of the season. They are a difficult team to beat and they do play in a style that I don't think is ever going to make them, the kind of Brighton, if you like, in terms of sort of XG. And a lot of that is just, it's controlled and, they're happy maybe not having the ball and they feel like they can defend well and make the most of the opportunities they create. But no, I agree with you, Jack. It just feels like the fizz has gone out of Fulham slightly. I know United were 1-2 earlier on this week and then they, they were cut into 4-9. And I would say from a sort of Acker point of view, I think in terms of those odds on favourites, I wouldn't really put people off putting United in in the trebles and ackers for the weekend.
Just a word on United, Mark. We spoke in length about their 7-0 defeat to Liverpool, and you said at the time not to get too carried away. And I think we've seen that with the result that Liverpool backed that up with. The most recent Premier League match for United was a 0-0 draw against Southampton that we touched on. Are we still confident that the United we saw a couple of months ago are still the United we can expect now, or have they tailed off slightly as well?
Yeah, I think they have tailed off. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, that they're only 2 points ahead of Tottenham now in the Premier League table, and a lot of people want Conte sacked at Spurs and think that Ten Hag is a genius, and there's 2 points between them in the Premier League, and that's quite an interesting point. I mean, I think in terms of that Southampton game, obviously you have a player sent off in the first half, that does become difficult to win it. There's also an argument for saying that Manchester United, a lot of them games that they played could have gone either way. They were, I remember, if you go back to like the 1-0 they had at Wolves, Rashford came off the bench, didn't he, and got the winner on another day. Yeah, it might not happen like that. They got the last minute winner, didn't they, against Fulham as well. And so a lot of the times, it can happen, and they weren't great in that doubleheader they had against Leeds, where they got 4 points, but they were trailing against Leeds, and again nicked that game quite late. Leicester, if you really want to nitpick, I mean, Leicester should definitely have been ahead before United got those goals before half time. Even in the FA Cup, West Ham for a good hour were the better side at Old Trafford. So EFL Cup final, wasn't much, was there, between Man United and Newcastle? A couple of set piece goals and the sort of set piece goal and the deflection goal rather, and the game was over. So I suppose need to just correct myself in terms of, look, it was never that 7-0 against Liverpool. That's not United. They have been going very well, but the talk of the title always felt fanciful. Really, they are a team that's in that top four mix, and you can't get too far ahead of yourself. I think that's maybe been the problem with last couple of games. People just getting overexcited by the fact that United were on this big run. It was unlikely to be sustainable over the rest of the season. They're always going to have a few wobbles along the way.
Okay, well, two teams coming into this with a slight dip of four. I guess we've got to note as well that United do have a Europa League game to play before this, but with all of that being said, Mark, how are you playing it?
Yeah, I did a couple of correct score split stakes on 2-0, 3-0. 8 of the last 20 Manchester United games at home have been either 2-0 or 3-0, and if they get in front and Fulham do have to push forward, there's enough on the break there for United to wrap up the game, I think.
Okay, let's get into the rest of the FA Cup games. Saturday, 5:45, Manchester City taking on Burnley. I must say, Mark, in terms of teams I've been impressed with this season, Burnley at the very top of it. The job that Company has done there has been nothing short of remarkable. Going brilliantly in the Championship, and they'll probably be confident that they might be able to lay a glove on City here.
Yeah, who would have thought that relegation would have actually almost been to Burnley's benefit?
Absolutely, yeah.
The way they were going, they were so obsessed with staying in the Premier League, and it was absolutely vital that they stayed in the Premier League. And look, we've seen other teams that if you don't use the best of those parachute payments, you can be in a world of pain. So you do need to get up quickly. But they were just so obsessed with staying in the Premier League that it didn't matter how they did it. It was just, we've just got to stay there. And actually, by going down a level, they've been able to find a vision, haven't they, for the team and the squad. And you mentioned that Burnley are going well. To me, it's not only the fact of how well they're going in the Championship, it's the way that they're doing it. Stylistically, managers can choose to play football, can't they, in a number of different ways. I just don't understand why you would choose to play negative, boring, dull football when you can play like Vincent Kompany does. And you don't need amazing players to make that happen. And your pal Russell Martin does it at Swansea, and look, Swansea are struggling in the Championship, but I mean, he's had all of his, he's had his best strikers sold, and there's only so much you can do. I would still rather have my club managed by somebody that wants to play football in a joyful way rather than, I don't know, like Diego Simeone or whatever. And so, yeah, but Burnley have found a new path, and be, you know, assuming they go back up to the Premier League, it would be really interesting to see how Vincent Kompany does at that level playing it that way. Because the one thing I would say is that much easier to play that possession-based football when you're winning and things are going well. To keep on doing it if you're losing four or five matches in a row is another thing entirely, isn't it? So just really interested to see how Burnley do. I mean, just looking at it sort of as I am, I think they'll do fine. They look like better than I'd say about four or five Premier League teams already.
Mm. They're just so well drilled. I think you're bang on there, Mark, about saying that you don't even necessarily need great players to kind of play in a style. I think that the proof of this is Ashley Barnes. I mean, the fact that he's got him pressing so quickly, so energetically, like, he just looks a completely different player now. And, you know, he's sculpted him within, what, 6-7 months. I mean, the turnaround there has been absolutely brilliant. How are you playing this? Because I guess, you know, City are going to be short. We like the look of Burnley. Where's your money going?
Yeah, my money will be going on trying to keep these kids quiet. I hope that the noise downstairs isn't causing too many issues. Jack, but it's obviously a strike day. Obviously, so, we're having to. I'm sure bloody your Martin Samuels of the world won't have to put up with this as they're trying to speak, or they having the kids in the background. But I think here the money will be on Manchester City to win to nil. Look, Burnley have got a very different game on their hands at the moment, obviously, to what they normally play against. They've only had one shot on target when they went to Old Trafford and lost earlier on in the season. I know they've probably kicked on since then, but that's the only game that we've really got to compare them to the type of match they've got coming up on Saturday. They had one shot on target and they lost the game 2-0. I don't think they'll be humiliated, but I do think that they'll, you know, they will go out at this stage. Obviously, a massive game for Vincent Kompany. He won't say it, but if they can get out of there with, I don't know, say a 2-0 defeat, it probably it's something that they would feel like a bit of a par score. So I'll go for City to win to nil, just because, on Burnley's only other occasion against a similar type team, they really didn't do enough to suggest they'll score.
There we go. With the kids being homeschooled today, Mark, what's your lesson of choice? Is it fractions and percentages?
Double percentages, followed by, settling bets at Cheltenham, followed by a bit of PE.
Sounds like a brilliant day.
Yeah, it does.
Let's take a look at Sunday's FA Cup draws. Sheffield United, Blackburn, another two sides going well in the Championship. Sheffield United currently in the top two. Blackburn, remarkably, just trooping on, finding ways to win. They take on each other at Sunday midday. How do you see this one?
Yeah, I just thought that Sheffield United were too short in this match.
Yeah, they've been struggling. Well, not struggling. I mean, they won last night, but certainly being another team that have maybe tailed off in the past month or so.
Yeah, and I think Blackburn, they're pushing on in the Championship. The general view is that they're not one of the sort of best teams in it. You know, there's a lot of hype around, say, Middlesbrough at the moment. But Blackburn sticking around, they've had one defeat in their last 13 matches. That includes a win over Sheffield United, a victory at Leicester in the FA Cup. They've drawn at Watford and West Brom. And I just felt that sort of, you know, Sheffield United were too short. So I'll go for Blackburn and I'll draw a double chance.
Brighton against Grimsby, Sunday 2:15. Now, I think a lot of people were on Sutton in the week to beat Grimsby, assuming that Grimsby would be going weak ahead of this this draw. But Grimsby won that game. They went full strength, coming into this with a little bit of momentum off the back of that. But, I mean, you'd be fancying Brighton here, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, Grimsby, you know, have upset the odds on a number of occasions to reach the FA Cup quarterfinals, not least when they knocked Southampton out in the previous round. But Brighton are a proper team. I think they are very much capable of getting themselves in this mix for Champions League. The football's on another level to sort of what some of the other sides are playing sort of around them. Sort of, you know, I'm sort of thinking primarily, say, Tottenham. And it's a joy to watch. I was going to go for Brighton to win and over 3.5 goals. fact of the matter is here, Brighton could cover the line themselves with the way that they do play. We sort of glossed over the fact that they beat Palace and focused in that review section, didn't we? Very much on, what Palace's woes, I suppose. But the ball from Mitoma, the run from March, that goal, just pure quality for Brighton. And it's FA Cup quarterfinal, so you assume they'll go strong. As well as that, we've got the international break coming up. So there's absolutely no need for De Zerbi to be resting anybody, even if he was thinking about it. So, I think it could be a difficult 90 minutes for Grimsby.
OK, should we take a look at the Premier League action this weekend?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Friday night football, Nottingham Forest against Newcastle. Newcastle are an interesting side at the moment, Mark, aren't they? I mean, managed to get through it against Wolves, but didn't look the same kind of performance levels that we were maybe used to a couple of months ago.
A game of two halves. Thought they were very good first half, not very good in the second half. The win, though, would have done them the world of good. The way the fact they did manage to force away to victory, which didn't seem likely in the second half. I'm going for a Newcastle win here. I know Forest have done very well at home and taken points off a number of big teams at the City Ground. It's Friday night, be a good atmosphere for sure. They were just terrible at Tottenham and they weren't much better at West Ham. I'm not sure you can just keep overperforming at home and being hapless away. At some stage, just feels like there needs to be a balancing out of that. And we didn't mention Forest too much, too often in that relegation chat.
No, it's true,
And I reckon that's a mistake. I think if I was probably going for three teams now, Forest might be in it, actually. And I would fancy Newcastle to win this game. I think that you would, like I say, would have done them the world of good to just get that winless run out of their system. I think Isak up front rather than Wilson makes sense. Guimaraes dominates the midfield. They're strong enough defensively to get the job done here.
Okay, Newcastle to win on Friday night. Let's take a look at the Saturday 3 o'clock, and we'll start with Villa against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Bournemouth or draw double chance. It looks a different team since those January improvements of the Cherries. Three defeats in seven doesn't look amazing on paper, but the defeats were against Brighton, Arsenal and Manchester City. And it was very late goals against Brighton and Arsenal that did for them, obviously blown away by Manchester City. But outside of that, beaten Liverpool, they've beaten Wolves, drawn with Newcastle. I just think we need to forget that Brighton of the first half of the campaign and just judge them on what they are now. And I think that Bournemouth are a team that are capable of getting something from the trip to Villa.
It's funny, isn't it? You say that Forest may be a team that we haven't mentioned too much in the relegation battle. Bournemouth the same. Another side, Leicester, they travel to Brentford this weekend. You can't count Leicester out of this relegation scrap. I know that you said that you think they've got too much going forwards, but even so, just as time ticks away, you fear for them more.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, and their supporters, I know, sort of feel like they're sleepwalking towards relegation, and they had that kind of jolt, didn't they, of wins, and it looked like they were on the up, and then since then, it's gone very badly for Leicester. I couldn't disagree, but I when I see Maddison and I see Barnes and you see Iheanacho, I know Vardy's not been scoring many goals, Daka up front, that just still feels like that should be enough to stay up. But we have seen teams like this before where you just go, too good to go down, and they're not. I'm going to go for a draw in this game. Absolutely love what Brentford have done this season. Don't lose many matches. Obviously beat Southampton in midweek. The fact that they played on the Wednesday, it was a rainy night, heavy pitch, quick turnaround, that's not ideal for Brentford as far as I'm concerned. And actually, when you look at some of their home games, they did draw with Crystal Palace. They drew with Everton. They drew with Wolves. They went out of the cup at home to West Ham. Sometimes when the onus is on them to go and win a game at home, doesn't work out so well for the way that Brentford play. Ivan Toney just in magnificent form. And, it's a shame that, he's got this probable ban coming up. And I'm not sure that Leicester will be able to deal with him. But I would also say that Leicester have got the sort of weaponry to get on the score sheet themselves. So Brentford are the most likely winners. Just wouldn't want to back them at the price. So I'll go for the draw.
Do we know when this Tony ban is going to come into play?
I heard it was likely to be April.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, assuming he gets a ban, obviously he might get away with it, but seems unlikely.
Okay.
Given that he's already accepted many of the charges against him. So.
Indeed. Southampton Spurs. We spoke about Southampton favourites to go down at the moment. Spurs with an important win against a fairly
rubbish
colour Forest side.
Absolutely rubbish.
But nice to see Kane back on the score sheet along with Son. That will give some confidence going into this one, Mark.
Yeah, it will. I mean, the perfect opponents, really, for a Tottenham team that was struggling. If you had a look at the ticket exchange for a laugh on Saturday morning, because you can sort of sell the ticket that you've bought. I think there were more dots for people trying to sell the tickets than there were people actually going to the game. But yeah, it was easy. I mean, Nottingham Forest just never turned up, or at least not until it was too late. And it's much easier to start playing when it's 3-0. This game here, I mean, Tottenham have obviously come up short against a couple of relegation sort of candidates of a name recent weeks. Thumped at Leicester, lost 1-0 at Wolves. This feels even easier than that, but do you want to back them? I don't. What I would say is that I think the best bet here is under 2.5 goals. Southampton's last 10 in the Premier League before Brentford, that game, their XG in those 10 games was only 8.2, and it was 0.5 against Brentford. So 8.7 in 11 matches. That is woeful. Tottenham only conceded 4 goals in the last 7 matches. So it doesn't feel like, I'd say the sort of reaction of Tottenham fans, and I include myself in this, probably doesn't relay with all what's going on the pitch in terms of results. But I'm not sure I'd want to back Spurs at the price. So under 2.5 goals.
Okay, final Saturday 3 o'clock fixture sees Wolves hosting Leeds, Mark.
I'm going to go for both teams to score in this game. Not something you would usually associate with Wolves or Leeds manager Javi Garcia. But I looked at Wolves' last 2 games. There have been 23 shots on target in those 2 games. And this feels like the kind of game that both will sense an opportunity to win. Wolves have, when they played on the front foot second half against Newcastle, suddenly started to look threatening, didn't they? I know the goal was a gift, and I felt they should have definitely had a penalty in the first half as well. But Leeds have got something about them in the final third as well. Scored a couple of goals, didn't they, against Brighton last week? So I'm going to go for both teams to score.
The evening game on Saturday sees Chelsea hosting Everton. Chelsea finding a little bit of form in recent weeks. It was a win over Leeds. I was about to say a win. But got through against Dortmund and then a 3-1 victory over Leicester. That'll be pleasing Graham Potter after a really turbulent couple of months for him.
Yeah, of course. And the goals that they scored against Leicester, some of them of the highest quality. I mean, it's not a fairy tale story, is it? Chelsea spent $500 million or whatever it is and have managed to beat Leeds and Leicester. It's what they should be doing. And they should be beating Everton. And I think they will beat Everton. But you're absolutely right. There's probably a different mood around Stamford Bridge now. Be interesting to see who they get in the Champions League quarterfinals. Something draw could really open up for them. There might be a buzz around the bridge, if they say get, I don't know, one of the Milan clubs or something like that, because they'd really fancy their chances against either of those. In terms of this game, look, Everton absolutely stink away from home. I have done for a long while now, particularly when they come up against bigger teams. I know that Chelsea are struggling, but quality-wise, they're still a team that you'd have to put in that kind of Champions League bracket. They're in the Champions League quarterfinal. So I'm going to go for Kai Havertz to score first in this game. He's had 10 shots in his last 2 matches, scored the wonder goal against Leicester. And I thought the performance against Dortmund was probably the best I'd seen him have in a Chelsea shirt.
We're at that stage of the season now, Mark, as we preview our next game, Arsenal against Palace on the Sunday, where every game feels like a potential banana skin for Arsenal. It felt very much that way last weekend when they played Fulham, but within sort of half an hour, it was job done. It was one of the most professional performances I've seen from Arsenal for a while. And, but this is another one against Palace, you feel, don't you?
I mean, maybe for the old Arsenal. I'm not sure about this Arsenal. you know, just
but if you're a fan of Arsenal and you're getting to this stage of the season, things are starting to feel a little bit nervy.
Wow, but it's Crystal Palace at home. I mean, I don't know what more you can want, really. This is an opportunity to go 8 points clear of City. I know City would have obviously games in hand at this point, but to imagine sit there at the international break 8 points clear, what a feeling that would be. And I don't expect any problems here for Arsenal. I'm going to go for Arsenal double result, 4-0 against Everton, 3-0 against Fulham. They were raced ahead in those games, and I expect a similar sort of performance and outcome rather than what happened against Bournemouth, who, like I say, I do think are improving. You mentioned last week, didn't you, that Arsenal potentially getting rubber the green in terms of some of the injuries. We spoke about Paulinho being out, and there was no McAllister, was there, and Caicedo when they played against Brighton. Do you see who was in goal for Palace in midweek?
it's like their 12-year-old, wasn't it?
Yeah, 19-year-old Whitworth, no senior goalkeeper. He didn't let the team down at the Amex, but again, if you're if you're betting on the match and you are looking to get with Arsenal, the idea is really you'd rather Whitworth be in goal than Gaeta, wouldn't you? So I have to see how injured he is, whether they can get a senior goalkeeper in sticks or whether they've got to use the teenager again.
Well, I tried to give you some optimism, Palace fans, battered away very quickly by Mark Landon. Let's move on to the EFL and we'll welcome James Milton to the show.
And now we're joined by my Racing Post colleague, James Milton, to talk all things EFL. Dan Charles is having a week off. I don't know if he's sat at home watching Cheltenham, but he's off on Thursday when we're doing this recording. Be back in the Racing Post and on racingpost.com with his EFL selections for on Saturday. So make sure you check them out. But for now, we've got a very able deputy in James Milton. You okay, Milts?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Mark. Yeah.
I saw you was busy yesterday. I'll let you in behind the curtain. James and a few of the other sports team have been helping out horse racing department. And you were on the bloodstock page, weren't you, yesterday?
I was very much out of my comfort zone there. Yeah, doing the leading stallions at the Cheltenham Festival so far. So I'm hopefully back on more familiar ground with the EFL tips.
Okay, what would you say is your best bet for this weekend on the EFL?
I really like the look of Luton to win at Sunderland in the Championship. In looking at Luton's away record, they've won 10 games on the road this season. That's the same number as the top two, Burnley and Sheffield United. Since Christmas, they've taken 17 points from a possible 21 on the road. And Sunderland's home form has been really patchy. They obviously lost in midweek to Sheffield United. Before then, they lost 5-1 to Stoke. So I think Luton at around sort of 7-4, I think, the top price is really tempting. They've won four of their last five games, all of them 1-0, all of them with Carlton Morris scoring the winner, which must be one of the most incredible runs in the history of scorecast betting, I think. But, you know, they're going really well, eyeing up the playoffs. And, I think they've got a great chance of yet another away win.
I don't know how many pounds my dad's thrown away with the Harry Kane Tottenham to win 3-1. Well, that actually came in on Saturday, but I'm not sure he was in against Forest. But certainly his favourite, it's his scorecast of choice. So we've got Luton. Who are the other two teams you like to look of?
Yeah, in the Championship, again, I'm going for Millwall to win 2-0 against Huddersfield. Jack won't need reminding that Huddersfield nicked a one-all draw with Norwich this week, despite failing to have a shot on target, which is always a tough one to take when your team drops points in that fashion. Grant Hanley with the own goal there. And before that, Huddersfield had failed to score in four games. Their last two away defeats came at West Brom and Burnley, you know, tough places to go, but they managed just two shots on target in those games. And Millwall are so strong at home this season. I think it could be a similar story there. So Millwall to win 2-0.
The divisions of Neil Warnock at the Den brings, there's a great social media clip of him bemoaning refereeing decisions in London that I'm sure will be getting wheeled out this weekend. So we've got Luton to win at Sunderland, and we've got Millwall to win to nil against Huddersfield. And what completes the EFL selections?
Yeah, I'm dropping down to League Two for this one, and opposing the leaders, Leighton Orient. So Colchester or draw, double chance. You can get about kind of 13 to 10 about this. It's a little bit of a leap of faith because Colchester have lost their last four games, but all of those were narrow defeats against teams in the top six: Carlisle, Northampton, Bradford, Stockport. Yeah, this is obviously going to be another tough trip. I think it's only the second game for new manager Ben Garner at Colchester, but they've not been conceding many goals at all. And Orient, you know, they did most of their best work in the early season. Still top of the league, still on track for promotion, but they've scored just 11 times in 14 league games since Christmas. So at short odds, I'm happy to take them, Colchester.
Okay, thanks very much, James.
Way to kick a man when he's already down. First of all, going on about Carlton Morris, the one that got away for Norwich, and then going on about Huddersfield. Yeah, no shots on target, 1-1. That sums up Norwich this season. Anyway, big thanks to James for delivering his EFL bets for this weekend. Let's take a look at your best bets for this weekend, Mark. The prop shop, how did it go last week? It was another shot on target bet, wasn't it?
It was a lose. Nunez, we needed him to have over 1.5 shots on target. He had one relatively early on and was hooked, wasn't he, by Jurgen Klopp. An absolutely disgraceful decision. I'm glad Liverpool got worse once Nunez was taken off. Klopp wasn't on the over 1.5, unfortunately. Otherwise, he would have kept him on. But, I suppose that's the problem with those bets. If you've got five subs and if you do get hooked, you get hooked. But this week, unfortunately, because it's Cheltenham, we've had to record slightly earlier than we normally would on a Thursday, haven't we, Jack? And not enough of the prop shop markets are available. So I am just going to stick with one I've already put up, and that's Kai Havertz's first goal, Chelsea against Everton. He's playing, people call him a false nine. He's just not a false nine. He's just playing fully up front for Chelsea. And I think that Graham Potter has sort of found his front three of choice now, hasn't he, with Raheem Sterling, João Félix, and also Kai Havertz. They're getting an understanding together, and Havertz is in what Gary Neville would call a good moment.
He does say that a lot, doesn't he? Let's take a look at your long shot for this week.
Yeah, League Two, Gillingham to beat Walsall. They've been a bit of a favourite, haven't they, of Dan Charles in recent months, and rightly so. I mean, they completely changed their team in January. Neil Harris has got them going. Hawkins and Nichols up front, provide a big threat. And Walsall have only scored one goal in their last four matches. So I think there's a decent opportunity here for Gillingham to upset the odds. They're nothing like this relegation team that they were earlier on in the campaign.
The Dan Charles influence in full effect, even when he's not here.
Tom Skinner. He's got more in a Bosch.
Let's take a look at a treble for this week.
So I'm going to go for a draw no bet in League One. So Barnsley, DNB at Wickham. 8 wins and 2 draws in the last 10. Nothing against Wickham, but Barnsley absolutely flying at the moment. We've spoken about Cheltenham. Of course, Michael Duff, the manager, had done great things at Cheltenham before he went to Barnsley. It looks like he's repeating the trick. Napoli to beat Torino. They're just destroying most teams in Serie A at the moment. One game before the international break, so hopefully won't be resting. And then finally, I have mentioned this one, Manchester United to beat Fulham. So we've got Barnsley draw no bet at Wickham, Napoli to beat Torino, Man United to beat Fulham.
Mark, if you were to have one bet this week, what's the strongest one? Time for the nap.
Yeah, so I'm going to go here for Gillingham on the Asian handicap, plus 0.25. So it's a small win, even if they draw. If you do want to play the draw no bet, I think that's perfectly acceptable. So either of those two, really. I know some people get put off by, Asian handicaps when it's sort of the quarter or three-quarter goal fraction. So either of those two bets. But the simple thing here is that Walsall, no win in 13 matches. And I think this is all to do with the fact that since Johnson, the striker, went back to Mansfield, they've really struggled, Walsall. And if you have a look at with and without Danny Johnson, these are the stats for this season, Walsall with and without Johnson. So with him, 112, drawn 7, lost 6. The percentages, that's 48% win, 28% draw, 24% defeat. Without Johnson, right, they've won 2 games, they've drawn 8, and they've lost 9. Those percentages, the win percentage goes from 48% down to 11%. The draw goes from 28 to 42, and the loss goes from 24 to 47. So, they're really struggling to replace his goals. And then, you know, I was just looking at Gillingham and McDonald, the midfielder. He's talking about promotion next season. You've got Sean Williams, like class act in midfield, and they've kept 5 clean sheets in 10 since Masterson came in at the back. So, Gillingham, nothing like this sort of relegation fodder earlier on in the season. Could be a good opportunity for them at Walsall.
There we go. I wasn't expecting that, Nat, but I'm fully behind you, Mark. I'm fully behind you.
Nor was I on Tuesday, but there we are.
Staying versatile. Very good. And what's the plans for the rest of this week?
Oh, I'm going to the pub on Friday to watch sort of Gold Cup Day at Cheltenham.
Nice. So
I'm
having
the day off. It's Mother's Day, isn't it, on Sunday? So I need to get a few presents on the Saturday and then, spoil the mother of my children, my wife, on Sunday. I don't know, probably takeaway or something like that. I don't bother with the restaurants, too busy. Poor value, for all Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, etc. So, that's the next few days all lined up.
Happy days. Well,
oh, fun.
Enjoy the Gold Cup, though. That sounds like an absolutely delightful day. Well, best of luck to you, Mark, with all of the punting. Best of luck to all of our lovely listeners at home, wherever you're playing. Please do remember, Mark's put up a lot of selections in this episode. You don't feel the need to back them all. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. It's an international break next week, so we're taking a well-earned rest. Mark will be back on the 30th of March, there or thereabouts, for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Stay safe. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.